because he is a faithful God. Can anybody say amen to that? Hallelujah. There is no better sound in the house this morning than the sound of children. We hear them. We see them. It's okay. Amen. I posted something the other day. Bring all the goldfish you need to. Bring the toys. Bring whatever it is you need to do, but bring the children. Amen. Bring the children. They're not a distraction. They are an enhancement of what God wants to do in the next generation. It thrills my heart to see kids around the altar. It thrills my heart to see kids worshiping. It thrills my heart to see families worshiping and serving the Lord together. Do you know that you are the first and most important book that your children will ever read? Well, I got one amen back there. They watch you. They see you. They mimic you. That can be a good or a bad thing. Most of the time, the child you have the most difficulty with is the one who is the most like you. That's generally the one you're going to butt heads with, right? Not always. But do you know that strong-willed children will rule the world? There is a reason that they have a strong will. There is a reason that they have tenacity. There is a reason that God has created them as they are. And I will tell you, as a mom on the other side of that, you will make it. You will survive it. My mom used to tell us, you all are the reason that some animals eat their young. Am I right? She used to tell us that. She was going to take us to boarding school and leave us there. Many a day she's told us that. I don't know where that boarding school was, but I didn't want to go there. She said, what she would say is, I'm going to take you to boarding school and I'm not going to pay the rent so they'll keep you. I'm like, Mom, if you don't pay, they're not keeping us. So many a time she wanted to give us away. But by evening, it was all good again. Amen. Some she wanted to keep more than others. I don't know. But anyway. But I honor all the women in the house this morning. Today I want to talk about the celebration of women. What an honor it is to serve with the women of the house, to have the privilege. One of the things that I desire for my children and my grandchildren is to surround them with powerful people who will speak into their lives and that will be a role model for them to aspire to, right? To teach them the ways of the Lord. How many will admit it takes more than just a mom and a dad to raise some kids? It takes Sunday school teachers and youth pastors and teachers and coaches and friends and aunts and uncles and sisters and brothers. And it takes more than one hand sometimes to raise children. How many are thankful for someone who spoke into your life that got you to where you are now? May have been a mom, may have been a dad, may have been a coach, may have been a friend, it could have been anybody, but somebody who told you about Jesus. We are in a generation in this day that sometimes don't know who Jesus is. I say that coming to church not only teaches you about Jesus, it teaches you respect. It teaches you reverence. It teaches you to sit still. It teaches you community. It teaches you faith. It connects you with people who will pray for you when you need it, right? One of the things I love about the lionesses in the pride, the lion is the hunter. He is the protector. And she's not the only hunter. She hunts too, but he's the protector of the pride. But in a pride of lions, the lionesses nurture each other's, and they will nurse each other's children. And what that says to me is, you know, as a lioness in the kingdom of God, it is my responsibility not only to speak into the lives of my kid, but when needed, be able to nurture and pray and raise up your kids as well. Amen? Because how many know sometimes you can say it all you want to say it, and they don't hear it. But somebody from an outside can come in and say something that can catch their ear or find them in a place where they seem like, see, what I love about God is you can run as hard as you want to away from him, and what happens is you run right smack dab into him. Because God will bring you full circle. Because when you cast your bread on the waters, it will return to you after many days. Amen. Raise up a child, train up a child in the way he will go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So take faith and courage in that God's got them. And that the training that we do is not in vain, it's not void, it's not ending. Because what I love about the Holy Ghost is it can go places we can't go. It can say things we can't say. It can do things we can't do. When my kids were in college or when they were outside of my house, the Holy Ghost would speak to me and I would start to pray. And I would say, Lord, wherever they're at, whatever's going on, I need the Holy Ghost there right now. I couldn't be there. But I knew enough to be sensitive to the power of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, they need you right now. Whatever decision, whatever place they're at, whatever need they have, go ahead of them, go behind them, go beside them, and be their shield and their buckler and be with them. Hallelujah. You do not get to retire from being a parent. You do not get a raise. You do not get paid. But you do get benefits. Amen? You do get benefits. And I'm not leaving the men out today. It's just not your day yet. Dr. Howes is going to take care of you guys on Father's Day. So you don't want to miss Father's Day, because Dr. Howes is going to bring it on that day. Amen? So, as the matriarch or the mama of this house, let me just tell you a few things today. Is that all right? Yeah. Did you know that Mother's Day was started in West Virginia? Yeah. Yay for West Virginia, right? We're known for a lot of things. But one of them is, it's for the beginning of Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Before I begin, I do want to just make an announcement. If you do not know, I have felt the release this year in my spirit. This will be my last year with Morgan County Schools. I am retiring after 32 years and feel like the Lord has released me to be with this house in this season of my life and to see what the Lord has for the next chapter of me. So I'm excited. Excuse me. I had a couple comments back. People said, what? You're retiring? I said, not from the church. Just the school. So I'm not retiring from church. I'm just retiring from the school system. And I'm thankful for that. I'm excited what the Lord wants to do in this next season, because I believe expansion is coming. Amen. And I want you to agree with me on that. Also, want to welcome the Howie family for joining us. Diana and David and Nikki and little Haley has joined us in our church. If you've not met them, make yourself known to them. Also, the Crisati family back there, Miss Megan and all of her children. And it's always great to see new families and new ones come into the house, and we welcome you as part of our family. We don't have church membership. If you come here and you connect with us, you are family. You're not a member, you're family. and we honor you and we invite you to be a part of who we are. Connect in as many ways as you can, and as you do that, you will find the strength of the community of this house. And so I'm so thankful for that, what God is birthing in this season, and how many of you are ready for increase? Amen. A big resounding amen. I'm ready for increase. Amen. Galatians 4 and 4. Can you bring that up for me, Lisa? But when the time arrived, yeah, I got it, that was set by God the Father, God sent his Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children, because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Father, Abba. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. Do you know that today? That you can cry, Papa, Abba, Father. That when God chose to send his Son, he chose to send them through the womb of a woman. That when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son born of a woman. He didn't send him in a chariot of fire. He didn't send him in a palace. He didn't send him through any other vehicle except through the womb of a woman. Born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. Message Bible says those who have been kidnapped by the law, that we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage, the value of heritage. Because you are his children, you have a privilege of intimate conversation with God, that you are not a slave, but a child. And if you are a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. How many know you have been given an inheritance as a child of God? You have God as your father. You have the right to intimate conversation with him. You have the right to come boldly before the throne of grace and mercy to receive all that God has for you. Now, I can ask you this morning, how many of you are living in the inheritance of God? How many of you are accessing the inheritance? Because if you don't know you have an inheritance, you won't access it. You can have all the money in the bank account. You can receive an inheritance through the will, but if you never go to the bank to draw that out, it's just in the bank, right? But when you realize that you have access to all that God is, all that he has provided for you, we live not as slaves, but we live as sons. How many know sons understand the heart of a father? Sons understand responsibility. Sons understand inheritance. Sons understand kingdom authority. But it said when God got ready to send his son, he did it through the womb of a woman. 2 Timothy 1:1-7, Paul writing to Timothy says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I mean, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. And, you know, we sometimes hear, you know, challenges for women speakers, women pastors, all of those kind of things. But I want to tell you this morning that when Paul begins to admonish Timothy, he says to you, Timothy, the gift that is in you of faith was bestowed in you by your grandmother and your mother. He didn't say your dad, your granddad, your pastor, your priest, your rabbi. He said there was a mama and a grandmama in your history that understood the faith of God and have instilled it in you, my son Timothy, and it's in you also. There is something to be said for women who stand up and begin to declare and impart into their children, their sons, or their daughters, the faith of God. Amen. The power of God, the salvation of God, the strength of God. How many know a lot of that stuff is taught? It's not just words. See, I understand healing because I know my dad's testimony that when they took off the top of his lungs at the age in his 30s and he was on 40 plus pills a day, God healed him, took him off the medications, and put his lung back on. Can I say to you today, lungs do not grow back on, but by the power of God, God restored healing in his body. He would have died a young man except for the grace of God that began to speak into him. Amen. He had a mama that sang a song to him one night after his children and got saved. And after, you know, God began to save my mom, and then he began to save my brothers, and he saved us kids. And they come back and said, Dad, God called us to preach. And they would tell my dad, God, we have a ministry, we have a calling on our life, and we begin to share those things. But he had a mama who sang him a song one night, a praying grandma named Ethel, who sang him a song one night, said, Daddy, you can't go with us, you can't be our daddy anymore, we're going on to be with Jesus. And he said, I didn't know a lot about this Jesus, and I didn't know what all of that meant, but all I knew was I loved my family. And I cried out and I said, God, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. That's all he had to say. If you'll save me, I'll serve you. And he said, there wasn't no lightning crash, no thunder rolled, but the power of God came into his life in that moment. And when it did, he was a changed man. And the life that he used to live, he did not live anymore. I know the testimony of men and women, my mom who stood up raised in a dysfunctional house, both of my parents raised in a dysfunctional house, but stood up one day and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I mean, you know, one choice and one decision can change the trajectory of your life. When you truly make a decision to serve the Lord and put your children into the hands of the Master to mold them and make them and to shape them into who God wants them to be. Hallelujah. So there was the ones who influenced the life of Timothy was his grandmother and his mother. I want to go to Exodus chapter 1 this morning for my main text and talk about a couple women. You may know them, you may not. Some of my favorites in the scriptures. And I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. In verse 1 of Exodus chapter 1, it says, these are the names of the Israelites who went to Egypt with Jacob, each bringing his family members, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. 70 persons in all generated by Jacob's seed. Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died and all his brothers, that whole generation. But the children of Israel kept on reproducing. They were very prolific. A population explosion in their own right. And the land was filled with them. A new king came to power in Egypt who didn't know Joseph. He spoke to his people with alarm. There are way too many of these Israelites for us to handle. How many know there was a different Pharaoh who knew not Joseph? The name Joseph is also synonymous with the name Jesus, a leader, a deliverer. He spoke to his people with alarm. There are way too many of these Israelites for us to handle. We've got to do something. Let's devise a plan to contain them, lest if there's a war, they should join our enemies or just walk off and leave us. So they organized them into work gangs and put them to hard labor under gang foremen. They built the storage cities, Pithom, Ramesses for Pharaoh, but the harder the Egyptians worked them, the more children the Israelites had. Children everywhere. Somebody say, children everywhere. The Egyptians got so they couldn't stand the Israelites and treated them worse than ever, crushing them with slave labor. They made them miserable with hard labor, making bricks and mortar and back-breaking work in the fields. They piled on the work, crushing them under the cruel workload. So we have a Pharaoh who does not know Joseph. How many know Joseph had favor with the Pharaoh? Yeah. The whole reason that the Egyptians thrived during famine was because they had a deliverer in their midst, because they had a savior in their midst named Joseph. And when Joseph began to speak and he began to declare what God was about to do, they were able to store up in their storehouses and they were able to have grain and they were able to have provision because a man of God stood up in the midst of crisis and drought and famine and said, we need to get some corn in the storehouses. But how many know that Pharaoh passed and a new Pharaoh came on the scene that knew not the ways of the deliverer? And so they began to be threatened by the children of Israel, and they were threatened by the Israelites. And so Pharaoh gets nervous, and they began to pile on them workloads to make make them slaves and to make them work harder and put them under cruel workloads. But in the next verse, in verse 15, the king of Egypt had a talk with the two Hebrew midwives. One was named Shiphrah and the other Puah. He said, when you deliver the Hebrew women, look at the sex of the baby. If it's a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. But the midwives had far too much respect for God and didn't do what the king of Egypt ordered. They let the boy babies live. The king of Egypt called in the midwives. Why didn't you obey my orders? You've let those babies live. The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women aren't like Egyptian women. These faith-filled women aren't like all the other women. They're vigorous. Before the midwife can get there, they've already had that baby. God was pleased with the midwives. The people continued to increase in number, a very strong people, and because the midwives honored God, God gave them families. Another word translation for families was dynasties of their own. So Pharaoh issued a general order to all his people, every boy that is born drown in the Nile, but let the girls live. Somebody say, let the girls live. Title of my sermon this morning is Let the Girls Live. Pharaoh's first mistake was he let the girls live. How many know he began to tell Pharaoh began to tell them and call them in and said, when these ladies get ready to have their baby boys and they're a threat to us, I want you to kill the baby boys, but you can let the girls live. because they were afraid that they would grow and overpower the Egyptians because they were vigorous, they were having babies, they're reproducing even in the middle of crisis and bondage. How many know they're still birthing something in a foreign land? See, you can be in a foreign land and still birth something that is eternal. Amen? And so they're having babies, and so he comes back to them, and he says, why are you not killing the baby boys? And they said, because these women are not like other women. These women are vigorous. These women are strong. These women are birthing these babies before we can even get there. And he said, what I want you to do then is, if you get there, is I want you to drown them in the Nile. Pharaoh's first mistake, but let the girls live. How many are thankful for midwives who don't answer to Pharaoh's voice of bondage and oppression? It said that they would become, because they obeyed not the voice of bondage, not the voice of oppression, not the voice of slavery, because they did not heed to Pharaoh's voice and they obeyed God. The scripture says that God gave them families. God gave them homes. God gave them, another word for that is dynasties. A dynasty is a line of hereditary rulers of a country or a succession of people from the same family who play a prominent role in business, politics, or another field. A succession of rulers of the same line of descent, also a powerful group or family that maintains its position for considerable time. How many know God wants to raise up some families? God wants to raise up some homes. God wants to raise up some dynasties that have a prominent role in business, politics, or another field. How many believe that the kingdom of God can infiltrate business? How many believe that the kingdom of God can infiltrate politics? How many believe that the kingdom of God and your households can infiltrate school systems? It can infiltrate every area of our life when born again, spirit-filled people begin to raise up a seed that knows the power of God and that is does not obey the earthly voice of Pharaoh's or voices of bondage, but begin to hear God for themselves. I mean, no, you need to hear God for yourself, for your family. How many got a background of somebody in your house that knew how to pray? Come on, Uncle John has given testimonies before that when he was in the military and he would be in crisis, he had the confidence to know that his mama was back home praying for him. My grandmother Ethel prayed her family into the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. She did not accept the family background to be the dynasty that was to continue, but she changed. She made a decision to change, and because she did, she brought her children to the Lord. Jochebed, however you say her name, we always said Jochebed, but it's really Jochebed, was the mother of Moses who would deliver a deliverer. Moses' mother delivered a deliverer. A Miriam, I mean, no, in this day we need a Jochebed, that it may not be your voice that's heard, but you may deliver a deliverer whose voice will be heard. She birthed a Miriam who would stand guard over the next generation and lead ladies in worship with a tambourine. The power of a believing mom. The biggest threat may not have been the boys, it may have been the girls. When Pharaoh speaks death, God says, live. He didn't know how powerful these women would be. Had there been, let me read this, and go on to verse 2, Exodus 2, 1 through 10. It says, there went a man of the house of Levi who took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags, or the reeds is another name for a flag, bulrushes, reeds, flags, by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." The scripture tells us that there was a mama named Jochebed who did not heed Pharaoh's command. There was a sister who was willing to stand guard over the next generation. Jochebed built a boat to the saving of her household. How many know Noah built a boat to the saving of his household? It was pitched within and without. You know, we look at the life of Moses, and we look at his obedience in building the boat and making a way of escape from the floods. And, you know, sometimes we wonder if we've done the right thing with our kids. We wonder if we have taught them all that they need to know. We wonder if we have trained them in the way of the Lord. But how many know you can give them all you can give them, and then you got to trust God to take them where he wants to take them. Amen? And to form them and to mold them into who he wants them to be. But how many know every baby needs a safe place? Every baby needs to know the power of deliverance. How many know Moses understands the power of deliverance because he should have never lived because he was a boy? But there was a midwife named Shifra and Pua that said, "I will not heed the voice of a Pharaoh," and said no to Pharaoh, "You cannot have our babies." No, Pharaoh, you cannot have our boys. And because they did, God made their houses dynasties, and he preserved a deliverer who would one day rise up and lead his children out of bondage and out of Egypt. She built a boat to the saving of her household. He was born as a slave, mentored in the palace. How many know there were some things that Jochebed could not teach Moses? Moses was born in slavery, in bondage to Egypt. Jochebed was born into that same generation. But how many know she had to trust God even when she takes him to the palace, that God would train him in higher level thinking to prepare him for the destiny that he had for him? Yeah. What I love about this is Jochebed said, "I cannot hide this boy any longer. I'm going to take him to the river, and I'm going to hide my boy among the reeds. And when I hide him among the reeds, Miriam, I want you to go, and I want you to watch over him." And when the Pharaoh's daughter comes and sees that there's a baby and hears the cry of a baby in the bulrushes and in the reeds, she says to them, "Go and fetch that baby and bring it to me." And she realizes there's a baby in the basket. And while she's there, Miriam is watching over that child and goes to Pharaoh's daughter and says, would you like me to call one of the Hebrew maidens to nurse this baby for you? She said, go and find me a mama who can nurse this boy, and I'll even pay you to nurse him. See, I believe the enemy can even pay the bill for what you got to raise in your house if you trust God in the process. And so she goes and she gets the mama of the baby, and she brings him back, and she holds that young boy to her breast, and she nurses him until he can no longer be nursed and is weaned, and she takes him back to the palace of Pharaoh's daughter so that he can become her possession. Now, I got to tell you, as a mama, in nursing that baby, she got some time to speak into him. I don't know how long she had. Did she nurse him for a year? Did she nurse him to 2, 3 years? I hear some people are you know, not weaned till they're 3 or even older than that. But I mean, no, who knows how long she nursed that baby? But I can tell you this, that while she has that baby in her possession, she's saying to him, son, you are not an Egyptian. You are Hebrew. Son, you were born for destiny. God's got purpose in your life. This is not our home. This is a temporary place, but God is going to bring us. God has already promised Abraham, he's going to bring us out of this place and take us into a land of milk and honey. And who knows, little boy, that you might not be the one that will raise up and lead a generation through a wilderness. See, the time that we have with our kids, the words that we say to them, what we impart to them matters. Amen? What you speak over them matters. How you treat them matters. What you model before them matters. Dads, how you treat your wife says it's okay for your daughter to be treated that way. That they should expect to be treated well. Moms, how you respond to your husband teaches your children what a marriage relationship looks like. Right? How you deal with crisis in your home matters. How you deal with sickness, how you deal with faith, how you worship. One of the reasons why we have our kids in during our worship service, and other people do it different ways, that's okay. I want our kids to know how to worship. I don't want them to wait till they're 18 and have graduated the last Sunday school class to find out that this is what morning worship looks like. I want them to learn how to pray. I want them to learn how to sing. I want them to learn how to worship. I want them to learn how to feel the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to see them when there's somebody at the altar walk up and lay their hands on them because they know the power of prayer. I'm telling you, our kids have been on it in this last month or so. When there is something happening at the altar, they are there. They are drawn to it. They appreciate it. They love it. I love seeing the kids come forward and putting money in the offering. If you teach your kids to give when they're young, it won't be a struggle for them to give when they're old. When you model it, when you teach it, the tithing and prayer and all of those things, when you teach those things, when you're older, it becomes a part of who you are. It's powerful. It's what's in their arsenal. That they know how to feel the presence of God. That they know the power of prayer. That they know what it means to read your Bible. To be in the Word. To have devotions. My mom and dad would have devotions with us as kids. And then they would tell you, go read your Bible. And then you're going to speak, or you're going to talk. And they would get us to share something out of the Bible. First time I ever preached, it took about 5 minutes. It was on the radio broadcast. I said everything I knew about the whole Bible in 5 minutes. At the age of about 12, I was preaching on radio broadcast. We were doing nursing home ministry. We were going into jails and prisons. I've been in maximum security prisons before I was old enough to break the law. Amen. Singing, preaching, praying. And I would say to my dad, I don't know why you bring me to do this, because I have no testimony. I've been delivered of nothing. I've not done drugs. I've not stole from anybody that I know of. I haven't broke the law. I haven't committed murder. I haven't done any crime that I know of. I have nothing to relate to these people. And my dad would say to me, Lisa, you have the greatest testimony of all. The power of God to save you and to preserve you from Egyptian bondage. Yeah. I did not know Egyptian bondage because somebody said, not my baby, not my children. That when Pharaoh would want to take us into slavery or captive and keep us in bondage, my parents stood up and said, no, not my babies. That I will save them alive. That I will build a boat for the saving and the preservation of a generation. And I am thankful today for the men and women who stood watch over my little basket in the bulrushes and said, you need somebody to nurse her? I can find somebody. You need somebody to train them? I can find somebody. You need a praying mama? I can get you one. You need somebody who can pour into them the identity of who they are, that though they spend their life, which seems like in a Pharaoh's palace or an Egyptian campus, they will never confuse their identity. Because when Moses looks out and sees an Egyptian afflicting a Hebrew slave, something rose up inside of him and said, I'm not an Egyptian, I'm a Hebrew, and I will be true to what God has put in my heart. Yeah. And he began at that moment to deliver his people, not knowing that God would call him back to the very place that he started to be a deliverer from the house of Pharaoh. And that he would confront him and lead the children of Israel out of bondage and across a parted Red Sea. Moses may not have been the greatest deliverer of Egypt. It may have been a godly, praying, unselfish mama and an obedient sister and two midwives that had the boldness to listen to a higher king. Hebrew women are vigorous, they are strong, they are resilient. They don't heed the voice of Pharaoh. There would have been no Moses without these ladies. Do not underestimate your role for such a time as this. When our kids go back to Sunday school class, and each week they are hearing the message of the gospel, it's working. Today, they're going to walk on water, I hear. The lesson today is going to be they're going to walk on water. Last week, they were in the boat. They've had fish on the fire. They have passports that they are punching as they go to the different towns in Jerusalem and all over the world and all the stops that Jesus made. And they've been stamping their passport and going to each stop, and they are hearing the message of the gospel and the faith of Peter that it will step out of a boat and step out of the chaos and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Because if it is the Lord, it doesn't matter what it looks like between here and there. That if you'll just be obedient and come, he will take you to where you need to go, and he will provide for you what you need to provide. And when you do that, you set an example for the next generation. Hallelujah. Midwife is a childbirth assisting woman. Pharaoh was having a midwife crisis. We need more midwife crisis. Come on, somebody. If you don't hear anything else I say today, it's about time for Pharaoh to have a midwife crisis. People who will stand up and say, not my baby, not today, not your voice, but there's an anointing and a power and a calling on what I am birthing, and you have no say what goes on in my house. So have a midwife crisis all you want, because God will establish me as a home and a dynasty for the days to come. It's about time for Pharaoh to have a midwife crisis. For people's ears that are not tuned to every other voice out there. For when they would want to abort the call of God in your life, and when other voices would come to abort the anointing and the purpose that God has set you apart for, somebody says, no, Pharaoh, not my babies, not today, and not your voice be heard, because these Hebrew women, they got some spunk, they got some faith, they got some vigor, and they're not waiting on you. So let the girls live. That's what he said. Abort those boy babies, but let the girls live. Let me just tell you, he did not know nor nearly understand the power of a praying mama, the power of a spirit-filled woman who hears the voice of God over everyone else. Hallelujah. It's about time for Pharaoh to have a midwife crisis. Pharaoh is any voice that is contrary to what God is saying in your life. It's the voice of slavery, bondage, and affliction that has to be silenced when women stand up and say no. A midwife supports women and others in their labor birthing process. How many know sometimes you just need somebody to tell you to just keep breathing? Just breathe through it. Just breathe through it. You guys may not get it, but some of you will. Just breathe through it. Breathe through it. Because when you're in the midst of labor, you're thinking, what have I done and how did I get here? You need somebody to help you breathe through it, because beyond that labor pain, there is joy that comes in the birthing of what God wants to bring forth. You need somebody that'll tell you to keep breathing, to keep pushing, that'll mop your brow when you're working through some things, when you are struggling, when you are trying, when the very thing that you have desired and you're about to birth is about the thing that you think's going to kill you. But just beyond that, there is joy that comes. Yes. Hallelujah. I was in labor 36 hours with my first little precious baby, 3 weeks early. The doctor finally came in after about 30 some hours. He came in, he patted me on the leg. He said, honey, you've been in false labor, but we're going to give you something to get you started. And I said, kill me now. Because if this has all been false, I will never survive the real thing. They gave me medication to start my delivery process. They told my husband, go lay down. You got at least 10 hours. Go lay down? Oh, no, you don't. He went out to the waiting room. Within an hour, my baby's head was crowning. Within an hour, she was here. All I needed was a start. Just give me a start. She was born an hour later. I was exhausted. I was tired. I was afraid. It was my first baby, and my husband came into he was in the delivery with me. He said, honey, you don't ever have to do this again. We're not ever doing this again. And I looked at him and said, oh, yeah, I think I could do it again. Because there's something about the moment when you finally embrace everything you have worked so hard for in your career, in your job, in your home, in your family, that you finally grab a hold of it. You said, this has been worth the sweat and the labor to get where I wanted to get to, because there's joy. The scripture says that you forget the pain for the joy of what you embrace. Mary stayed with Elizabeth until she could lay eyes on her promise so she could believe for her own. They were rewarded with dynasties. Hebrews 11:23, real quick, says, faith prompted the parents of Moses at his birth to hide him for 3 months because they realized their child was exceptional and they refused to be afraid of the king's edict. Faith enabled Moses to choose God's will, and although he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused to make that his identity, choosing instead to suffer mistreatment with the people of God. Moses preferred faith's certainty above the momentary enjoyment of sin's pleasures. He found his true wealth in suffering abuse for being anointed more than anything in the world could offer him, for his eyes looked with wonder not on the immediate but on the ultimate, faith's great reward. Holding faith's promise, Moses abandoned Egypt and had no fear of Pharaoh's rage because he persisted in faith as if he had seen God who was unseen. Faith stirred Moses to perform the rite of Passover and sprinkle lamb's blood to prevent the destroyer from harming their firstborn. Faith opened the way for the Hebrews to cross the Red Sea as if on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to cross, they were swallowed up and drowned. Somebody say, let the girls live. It's time for Pharaoh to have a midwife crisis. I want to end with this scripture. There was a time when John the Baptist was in jail and he sends word to his disciples and said, go see him, go to the Messiah and ask him, are you the one or do we look for another? And Jesus' response to them is, what did you go out to see? Concerning John the Baptist, what did you go out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What were you looking for? When I thought about that last night, his reeds shaken in the wind may have referred to Moses in the bulrushes. Moses in the reeds. Were you looking for a lawgiver or were you looking for a grace giver? Were you looking for Moses, a reed shaken in the wind, or were you looking for the Messiah, a forerunner of Christ? I mean, Moses was a forerunner of the Messiah, but could not make it in on the old covenant. But Christ came that we could make of twain one new man. Were you looking for someone who was palace raised? But there's a new kind of deliverer on the scene. Go back and tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame are healed, the deaf are restored, the lepers are cleansed, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. What they were looking for was a Moses type of leadership that John came from preparing. But how many know Jesus was not a reed shaken in the wind? He was king who was born in a manger. Moses was born in a basket, but made it to the palace. What we are looking for in this day is men and women of God who understand the power of grace, the power of covenant, and the power of our deliverer, Jesus Christ. Never say, I'm just a mom, or just a woman, or just a dad. I'm thankful today that my mom hit some babies in bulrushes, so outside voices did not abort their calling. And so today I say, go, mama. That when my mom used to get hate mail on the radio broadcasts because women weren't supposed to preach, they were brave enough to send her hate mail, but they weren't brave enough to sign it. I stand here today not having to plow the same fields that my mom plowed. For the men and women of God who went ahead of me, who spoke the word of God, even when they were attacked for doing it, I stand before you today honored and proud that somebody said no to Pharaoh and provided a bulrush basket to save me from the life they lived so that I never had to know the bondage of alcoholism and abuse and the things that they endured, but by the grace of God stood up and said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Women like Dorothy McLean, women like Ethel Lee Krause Hiles, women like Daisy Barker, who decided, you're not going to have my babies. You're not going to have my babies. Let the girls live. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Let those babies live. Come here, baby. Here, Kenzie. Come over with me. Come here. Come here. She got that Holy Ghost boldness this morning. Can't tell you how many times lately I've had people say, I wish we had kids in our church. Come here, baby. Let me hold you. This is not just a child, but it's a picture of the next generation. And our faithfulness to them matters. When you sow into this house, when you sow into their lives, when you speak over them, you pray over them, you are saying no to Pharaoh and yes to Jesus, that God will do in the next generation greater things than we have seen because somebody was faithful to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing this morning. If you have a prayer request, if you need special prayer, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to receive Him this morning, we would love to celebrate that with you. If you're online and this speaks to you, we send the power of the Holy Spirit to you right now, that God will stir your heart and God will make a way to bring forth His purpose in you in Jesus' name.